And I want to talk to you today about, we're talking about the issues of the heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Proverbs 4. What's the verse? Proverbs 4. I should look it up. I lost the address. It's what happens when you get older. The library is still there, but oh, the Dewey Decimal System is gone. I have notes, but I put them in the wrong way. Oh, here they are. Sorry. You okay with me? I might get a little blonde. Now it's blonde old lady, blonde Nana, so just bear with me. Okay. I have it somewhere. Where's your verse? Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. That word spring, if you look it up in the Hebrew, means borders. And boundaries. Okay, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it is going to spring the borders and the boundaries of your life. God has a designated place of favor and anointing and destiny for each girl sitting in this room. Is it okay if I call you girls? I know we're women, but somehow girls just seems a little more casual, like we can just let down our, you know, of course we're women. We're not children. We're women. We've grown up. But there is a destiny appointed to each and every one of you. And there is a specific assignment from God, good works, it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for he has ordained us for good works. In other words, he's already planned them out, and they're waiting for us to step into and walk into in our lives as believers. And so keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues, the borders, and the boundaries of your life. And what the enemy is after is our hearts. If he can discourage our hearts, distract our hearts, depress our hearts, deflate our hearts, diminish our hearts, then we simply become not useless, but we become crippled in the kingdom of God, and we become women that are needy, and instead of accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish, we actually step back and people have to help us. And there's nothing wrong with needing a hand out. I was a welfare mom, and I was a single mom in Santa Barbara in the 70s because I didn't come from a wealthy family, and my ex-husband divorced me. He was only 17 when he married me. The guy went to Vietnam. I don't blame him. I used to blame him, but I don't anymore. And he was a, you know, poor kid. How would you like to be 17 and you've got an 18-year-old girlfriend that's pregnant in a town of 1,000 people in 1968, and you're still a senior in high school? Yeah, it's not a good scenario. So he didn't know what to do, and people were getting drafted. It was Vietnam War, and it was 1968. So he joined the military, and off he went to Vietnam, and that changed his life. Not for the good, but for the worse. And so the point is that I was a single mom. I was needy, and I had a lot of problems, and when Randy came back from the war, he took us off into a direction that was not good, and I was stupid and rebellious, and off I went with him into a drug world. And when we were in Germany, he bought a lot of hash. He was in the military, and we brought it back to the United States. I mean, how stupid is that? I should be in jail. I should have been in jail, but God's grace kept me out of jail. Now, I'm telling you this to tell you that God doesn't take people that are perfect. He takes screwed up people, and when we will simply step away from the screw up and realize we can't fix this, we messed up, and we come and we begin to own our mistakes. That's what repentance is. Lord, I messed up. I need to change. I can't change me. I can't fix me. I'm afraid of me because I don't trust me because I can't get near somebody without wanting to get to bed with them. Hello, in my 20s. I know. Is this shocking for a pastor's wife to talk like this? And if you would have looked at me when I was young, you would have said, that woman will never do anything but go straight to hell. But God changed my life. He changed my life. And I'm going to tell you how he changed my life and what I did about the heart, okay? So God wants to enlarge your borders and your boundaries. God has a bigger life for you than you have. Some of you in here have had lousy lives. Some of you in here have absolutely been raised up in ungodly families. You didn't know Jesus. You weren't raised in church. See, I had no excuse. I had a great mom that loved God. So I'm just pure rebellion. But some of you have had some bad things happen. You've lost kids. You've been divorced. People have rejected you. Your husbands or your boyfriends have rejected you. You got kids that have different fathers. And now you're raising kids as a single mom and you're in poverty. Some of you have that scenario working in your life. Some of you have been raised up in cultures like the African-American culture or the Hispanic culture. And if you're Hispanic and you're here illegally, there's guilt and shame and you're hiding and you don't know what to do, but you don't want to go back. And if you're African-American, you've been raised up with prejudice. You've been raised up with other things. If you're white in here, you got just as many screwed up problems as any other race has. We can be just as poor, just as screwed up, just as messed up. You see, it's not about our race. It is about not what's been done to us or where we came from. It's now been about what's been done for us and who we now are. And that's the difference. That's the difference. When you and I begin to step into the knowledge and to the revelation of our life change, then we can see God begin to change our lives. But there's steps to take. So let's look at what the heart is. Now, I asked if there was a possibility that I could get Jim's slide on the body, soul, and spirit. There we go. In 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, and I don't have these written down, so I'm just going to turn to them. Is that all right? Do you have your Bibles? Who are you and who am I? I mean, how do we work? Have you ever wondered that? I know that we teach it, but sometimes I just think, God, there's a million voices talking to me, and who in the heck are all these voices? I'm definitely schizophrenic. I'm hearing voices. All right. 1 Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians in your Bible or on your iPads or your phones, and look with me in chapter 5 at verse 23. This is what it says. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify. That word sanctify means set apart and cleanse, to make exclusively his. Make you holy. Sanctify. It's a big Christian word. Sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we are, just like God, triune beings, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God the Father conceives what he wants done. God the Son commands what the Father wants. And God the Spirit creates what the Father does. The Trinity. Are you with me? He conceives, he commands, he creates. He's God. All things are created through him and by him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And the word that was made flesh that dwelt among us, that commanded the will of the Father, and the spirit that indwelled him in his physical body, created the signs and the wonders. Now that same scenario is working in you and I as a new creation. Philippians chapter 2. Says, for God is at work in us both to will, he conceives the plan for your life in us now, and to do his good pleasure. Now that you've been born again, your spirit, because you are a spirit, you are a soul, and you have a tent that houses them. Your spirit now connects with the Father. It's been born again. That's why we get born again, because it says in John chapter 4, and let's look at this. Are you all right with me? Let's just look at the Bible, and it tells us who we are. John chapter 4. Jesus is with a woman at the well. I don't have any of this on the overhead, so just bear with me and bring your Bibles. We're going to do it old school style like we did back in the 70s before all of this was there. Jesus is at the well. He had to go to Samaria. He had an appointment with destiny with a fallen woman. She had five husbands, and the man she was living with wasn't her husband. I would say that woman got around. Would you say that? So there you go. God uses women that get around. All right? So any of you in here that are carrying a bunch of shame, knock it off. If you're born of the Spirit of God, you're forgiven, but don't go back to it, all right? Here's what she says. She starts off calling him a Jew, then she calls him sir, and then she calls him rabbi, and then she calls him, I see that you are a prophet. So there's a progression as God, as Jesus is sitting there, God is sitting there, and he's beginning to choose her out and work in her spirit and tell her who she is. She came for water, and he says, I've got something else to give you. You're coming to the well at the noon hour because nobody else wants to be with you. Because when you went to the well in Israel, you went in the early morning hours because the women were in great shape because they had to carry the water back and forth to the house. Hello. There were not plumbing systems. Here's Jesus at that well at the noon hour. He asks her for a drink. She says, you are a Jew. You don't even talk to us. I'm a Samaritan. I'm a second-class citizen. And Jesus then begins to deal with her. He says, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for water because I can give you water that you'll never be thirsty again. And she gets a little smart alecky and she says, well, give me some of that water so I don't have to come to this well. And Jesus looks at her and he says, go and call your husband. But you don't have a husband. That's what she said to him, I don't have a husband. He says, that's right, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands and now the man you're married to, he isn't your husband. You're not even married to him. You just gave up, and now you're living with him. She says, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. And the first thing she says to him is, you know, we worship at Jacob's well. And this is what Jesus responds back to her. So now he's cut to the chase with her. And he says to her in John chapter 4, he said, for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly. So he nails her. He nails her, he nails her, he nails. Listen, what? God doesn't know us. You think he doesn't know your secret thoughts? You think he doesn't know what you did last night or what you put on or what you watched and how bad you feel about it today? You think he doesn't know how you feel about your husband or what you did with your kids or you yelled at your kids? And you know, he knows it all. He knows it all. And the amazing thing is he knows the worst thing about us, and he wouldn't tell anybody. He's really, really in love with us. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that Jerusalem is a place where one ought to worship. Now, this is a Samaritan. This is a prejudice. This is a racial thing. So all you African Americans, all you Mexicans, all you white people, listen up. Prejudice is not new. You can go to Africa and everybody's black and tribes are killing tribes. You can go to Yugoslavia and everybody's white and tribes are killing tribes. You can go to Europe and the Germans hate the French and the French hate the Italians. Listen, prejudice is simply satanic in the human heart. And can I tell you something? You can't legislate it. You cannot make morality a law. Because people can obey it because it's the law, but it's still the heart that's got to change. It's still the heart. And so until you and I get a clean heart and get the right heart over humanity, we're going to be prejudiced. And so he looks at her and he says, and this is brilliant, because remember when I'm teaching on the end times, I said there's only two categories of people in the Word of God. There's a Gentile and the Jew. If you're not Jewish, you're Gentile, whether you're black, white, red, purple, polka dot, and all of us were outside the covenant of God. Jesus said to her, woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. For we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. God used the Jewish race to bring forth the plan of salvation and the Messiah. That's fact. He chose them, not because they were great, but by their fathers, and because it was his choice and his election. So the Jewish people are the apple of God's eye. Whether you like them or not, we better get online, and we better love what God loves. Hello, Israel. Number 23. But the hour is coming, and now is, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So we see that God is a spirit. You and I are spirits. You have a human spirit. Paul said that God would sanctify you, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus said, into your hands, I commend my spirit. Are you with me? When you get born again, your human spirit was disconnected from God, and my human spirit was disconnected from God. I died because death means separation. It doesn't mean a ceasing to exist. And when I died, when Adam and Eve died, when they ate of that tree and they separated from God, spiritual death came in and that divine connection was severed. And now Adam and Eve knew good and evil, not from God, but from their own human spirit. Are you with me? That is why Jesus said, you must be born again. What is born of the flesh is flesh, human, physical bodies. What is born of the spirit is spirit. God is a spirit. He breathed into Adam the breath of life. When Jesus went through those walls in the upper room and the disciples freaked out because he walked through the wall and he was alive and they touched him and they saw that he was resurrected, he breathed on them and said, receive the Spirit. Were they born again at that time? Absolutely. Their human spirit was now joined back to the Father. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to buy us back, redeem us. He came to reconcile us to the Father. But here's the thing we don't know. He came to restore us, to recover us, and restore us back to the humanity that he had made us to be. There is a life waiting for you that is supernatural, but it's not of the flesh, it's of the spirit. And when I walk in the flesh, I will not fulfill the desires of the Holy Spirit, and I will fail. When I walk in the spirit, now my soul is connected to my spirit, and now I am going to have victory. So let's look at this little picture. Jim taught this years ago. It's brilliant. We are body, we are soul, and we are spirit. Life is in the spirit. Life, love, hope, faith. The Spirit of God inside of us has now joined himself to my human spirit. We are divinely connected. The Holy Spirit is connected to you and joined to you, and no one can snatch you out of his hand. You are now born of the Spirit of God, and even if you screw up and you mess up and you do the worst things that you could ever do, you know what? There'll come a time when you'll be back with God, and he'll forgive you when you finally quit running from him and run back to him, and he'll cleanse you and remove that sin and get you back on your feet again. So you're not going to be perfect, but you are, and I are, men and women that are growing up in Jesus Christ. So my body, what is my body? Well, God calls this, in the Word of God, he calls this the carnal nature. I'm born, this body is my tent. This body houses my spirit and my soul. And my spirit and my soul are what God calls the human heart. I'll show you. Go with me to Hebrews, the 4th chapter. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter, very famous verse. We use it around here a lot. Chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Let us therefore be diligent to enter the rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Speaking of Israel. Chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The spirit and the soul are the human heart. Not the heart that beats, that's our flesh. But inside of us, there is an immaterial substance made in the image of God, spirit. God is a spirit. In other words, it's not corporeal. Corporeal is three-dimensional matter. Matter, space, and time is what makes up our universe right now. Am I making any sense to you? I know this is physics, but listen up. You're sitting in a chair right now. This chair is matter. It has substance to it. You can feel it. You can touch it. You can smell it. You can see it. And you can hear it. Your physical senses were given to you to house your soul and your spirit on this earth. It's a tent. It's going to separate from your heart, your soul, and your spirit. And your soul and your spirit are eternal. They are made in the image of God, and you are living forever. Eternity is in our hearts, it says in Ecclesiastes. So people that don't believe in any resurrection, that think all you are is dust and you're going back to the dust, the only thing going back to the dust is this tent. That's it. Your soul and your spirit are eternal. And the fight in your flesh and the fight in your spirit is over the soul, which is just for the intent and purpose of ease, because I don't know. I honestly don't know. Is your mind, your will, and your emotions. Now, we say that, but let me read you this commentary in the Spirit-Filled Bible, which I think is brilliant. We say that the soul is the personality. The body is that fleshly tent, that old nature, that carnal nature that doesn't want anything to do with God. And we say that the spirit is in the image of God. And the spirit was disassociated. The spirit got born again. The human spirit and the Holy Spirit come together as one. But now the battle between the carnal nature, the body, and the spirit, the Holy Spirit and our spirit, is over the soul, the mind, the pivoting point. Are you with me? Your soul is your intellect, your personality, your will, your emotions, all of that is who you are. You were born with a personality. Every one of us have a different personality. Every one of us have different gifts. Every one of us have different abilities. Some of you in here are so darn creative, you can look at something and you can just shoop, and you make something. It's like, oh my gosh, how did you do that? Some of you are just intellectual. I mean, you can figure out systems. You see things. You're administrative, man. You can just see how to organize everybody. Some of you are just absolutely so full of mercy and so full of the passion of God for people that you walk into a hospital room and it lights up because you got that mercy personality. Some of you are teachers. Man, you just know how to figure out what something is. You have a love of learning. You love to learn, and you can't wait to share it with somebody. You're teachers. You're teachers. Some of you are absolute givers. God's given you entrepreneurialism. He's given you the ability to make money. Now, he hasn't given you the ability to make money so you can be rich. There's nothing wrong with being rich. The old saints were rich. But that richness is first and foremost for the kingdom so that he can run finances to you and through you. You can still have a rich life and enjoy yourself, but it's not greed, and there's a big difference. There's all kinds of personalities in here. Your soul, your emotions, and in the old nature, when you and I were in the carnal nature, the old nature that was separated from God, we didn't understand the things of the Spirit. They were foolishness to us. Has anybody been watching anything about this political stuff that's going on? Now, listen, I don't want to get political because in here there's Democrats, independents, socialists, Republicans. There's everybody in the world in here. So I don't want to go political on you. But have you ever heard of a man named Dr. Ben Carson? Now, I respect Dr. Ben Carson. Forget his political affiliations right now. That man's a neurosurgeon. He's a brain surgeon. It doesn't get smarter than that. His mother had a third grade education, and she was a single mom, and she raised two black boys, and they both grew up to be absolutely brilliant, incredible boys with a single mom. And Dr. Ben Carson, forget his politics, but Dr. Ben Carson is a genius and a brilliant man. He's African American, and I respect him. He happened to say that he was a creationist and that he believed in the Garden of Eden, and he believed in Adam and Eve. And I mean, there was hell to pay. Oh my gosh, magazines came out with his picture on the front cover and said how foolish he was. Who believes that anymore? This is a scientist that believes that, and they didn't come against him, they came against his faith. Now, I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians. I want to show you something. So forget the political part of the man. I love that man. I don't know him, but I respect him, highly respect him, because he's not afraid to be a fool. He's smart enough to not care what anybody thinks about him. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "And I, brethren," Paul speaking to the church, "could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. You are still filled with the fleshly ideas of how things should be apart from God. For where there is envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men?" Mere men. Mere men. So does that mean that there's something more than mere men? Could that mean that there is a new creation made in the image of God? And that he has downloaded into our spirit the great teacher and creator of the universe, the Holy Spirit. And that as you and I begin to step away from being mere women, but actually daughters of the one that made it all, that we can be transformed by the renewing of our minds. The soul part of man and woman needs to be reprogrammed to begin to think like God thinks. Because until I think like God thinks, until I begin to understand that there's a whole different kingdom that, like my spirit, I can't see or touch or taste or hear or smell or feel. It's the invisible world, but it's more real than this corporeal natural world that I was born into. Until I begin to renew this soul that is the pivotal point between the body and the spirit. Because when the body, my old nature, runs my soul, my feelings, my thoughts, my will, my emotions, when I am governed by my old nature, then I'm not walking in the Spirit of God, I'm walking in the flesh. And when I walk in the flesh, instead of being over here in the kingdom where I win, I am now back in Satan's old territory and I have no power. I have no power at all. I'm back as a princess of God. I have just renounced my royalty, renounced who I am, and I've stepped back into the dirt, and I've gone back into the gutter instead of going back to the palace with Dad. That's how important this is. Because we have to be reprogrammed. We have got to get downloaded by the Holy Spirit. And we've got to begin to think like he thinks. Because when you begin to think like God thinks, everything looks different. Remember I said I started out, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life, the borders and the boundaries of your life will flow out of your heart. How far you go, what you accomplish, what you can believe for, what God wants to do in your life is all tied up to the human heart. And the Bible teaches us that no one can distinguish between the soul and the spirit, but the word of God pierces through and divides asunder the soul and the spirit man. Now, I want to read this commentary to you in Luke. Let me go back there because I didn't. Did I read that to you? I didn't. All right. You all right with me? I know we're teaching today, but listen, if this drops down into your spirit, you've heard it a million times, then hear it again. Because until we are willing, until I am willing to face the discomfort and the displeasure of my flesh not getting its way, I am not going to walk in the spirit. My flesh is going to rule me all the time. I'm going to be easily offended. I'm going to be upset about everything. When somebody's rude to me, I'm going to be rude right back. When my husband isn't seeing things my way, I'm going to want to rule and overwhelm him with nagging and my personality and rule in my flesh. Are you with me? I won't raise my kids in the spirit. I'll raise my kids exhausted, tired, depressed, resentful. My job, I'll not be successful in my job because I'll think my job owes me more than what it's given me, instead of understanding that over here in the kingdom of God, if I'm working, I'm not working for that boss. I'm working as unto the Lord, and he's the one that promotes me. And if I will get on the job and make my boss look good, be there longer than anybody else, come early, stay late, don't complain, be a problem solver, not a problem giver, not a complainer, but a praiser, that all of a sudden I'm operating in the kingdom of God, the secret kingdom of God that has keys. Jesus said, I give you the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind will be bound. Whatever you unlock will be unlocked. Listen, what do you think those keys are? They're the kingdom of God principles and rules and the laws of the kingdom, that when we operate in those laws, they come and they unlock a door that's not been opened to us. But when I learn how to submit and come under the authority of the word, even though my boss may be prejudiced, even though my boss may not see, even though my paycheck isn't enough, even though there's no hope for me, God will make a way where there is no way, because it's a supernatural kingdom. But I gotta download. I've got to download. I've got to download. This is what it says about the soul and the spirit. I'm gonna finish this because God, I never tell you about it. In Luke chapter 21, if you have a spirit-filled Bible, there's a word wealth there, and it's brilliant. Jesus is talking about the end times. And he's telling them they're going to be betrayed and they're going to be persecuted. Because they said, what's the end going to be like? He says, I'm going to tell you. Your flesh isn't going to like it. They're going to kill you. They're going to drag you before magistrates. Your kids are going to hate you. There's going to be betrayal. It's going to be tough. You got to pick up your cross and follow me. If you're not willing to not pick up your cross and follow me, and if you look back, you're not worthy of me. Why? Because heaven gave everything heaven had for you and me. I either believe this or I don't. This is not a walk in the park. This is a walk in a narrow road, picking up a cross and following the one that is the king. He says, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake. Not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience, possess your souls. Here's the word wealth on this. Souls. Psuche is the word for soul. It's the Greek word. Compare psychology, psychonosis, psychiatrist, psychedelic. Psuche is the soul as distinguished from the body. It is the seat of the affections, will, desire, emotions, mind, reason, and understanding. Psuche is the inner self or the essence of life. The word often denotes a person or self. Psuche is not dissolved by death. Body and spirit may be separated, but spirit and soul can only be distinguished. Spirit and soul. You are spirit, you are soul, and you live in a body. Your spirit and your soul, according to Hebrews 4:12, make up the heart, the hidden man of the heart. And that's the eternal part of you. And this is the battle. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the soul is the prize that they're both after. So when my soul joins in agreement with the Holy Spirit, and my human spirit rules my soul, and my flesh now has to come into divine alignment. It's a war. Listen, if you think for a second you're not going to be in a war until you die, you're fooling yourself. And the biggest war sometimes is with ourselves, is it not? Now, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to close up in a minute. We've been talking about the heart. What's the heart? The heart's your body. Is your human spirit, the Holy Spirit, and your soul. It's your soul, your personality, who you are. Listen, God made you individual, and he made you exclusively his, and he made you and designed you the way you are. He likes you. He actually likes you. He actually made you. He gave you that personality. He gave you those things that you don't even pay attention to. You don't even think you're gifted, but you know why? Because you do it naturally, so you just think everybody can do this. But no, everybody can't do that. You do that because you look like your dad. But it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but God has revealed them to us. Let's go to verse 6. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not wisdom of this age, nor are the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. The rulers mean, yes, the men, but the principalities behind these men. Satan did not know what was coming down with Jesus, or he had never crucified him. Because it says in Hebrews that through death he destroyed death, which none of the rulers of this age knew. But it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. That's a pretty amazing verse. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man? Your spirit knows you, right? Inside of you is a human spirit, and that spirit and that soul are connected. It can only be distinguished by the word of God. Are you with me? Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit, capital S, who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Now, how do I download what I'm supposed to know? The Holy Spirit's our teacher. He has in you. He has joined himself to you. You are fused with the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. God conceives it. The Word commands it. The Son commands it. The Spirit creates it. Now, God in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Can you believe that? I just lost an ear, and I hope my thing's there. Oh, there it is. See, I can still get spiritual and be a woman. Christ in me, the Spirit in me. He is now my teacher. He knows the deep things of God, like your human spirit knows your deep things. Have you ever felt like nobody got you, nobody understands you, nobody really knows you? Well, guess what? They don't. They cannot crawl into your spirit and figure you out. They never will be able to. That's why if you think your husband is failing you, he doesn't get you. He's not supposed to get you. He's never going to get you. But there is a man that gets you from the start to the finish, that made you, that formed you, that created you. That man, Christ Jesus, made your human spirit, and he gets you. He gets you. No one knows the mind of man but the Spirit. So here's the Spirit of God. These things we speak, not in words which men's wisdom teach, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That's why you're here. They said Dr. Ben Carson is foolish. He's crazy. He actually believes that there was an Adam and an Eve. And I read it in an article. He actually believes that there's a Garden of Eden. He thinks that's real, not a fairy tale, not a fable. That's what the secular world believes, because they cannot accept or understand the things of God, because the carnal nature, this world, is at war with the Spirit. They are at war. They will never agree. So the job that I have as a new believer in my heart, keeping my heart, is to come under the authority of the Holy Spirit and to tell my flesh, no, we're not going there. I don't care how bad we feel. I don't care how much I've just been hurt. I don't care how discouraged my day seems. I am going to come under the authority of the Holy Spirit. Soul, why are you cast down, O my soul? And you begin to talk to your soul, your human spirit, which is where the library of the Word of God is housed. The more that you put in, the more that you've got a library with shelves and books and verses and principles and revelation. I call it my spirit library. And the Holy Spirit, who's my teacher, just, let's thumb through it. Let's give you this verse. Let's give you this principle. Let's give you this revelation. And a small voice will whisper to you, don't let that discourage you. When you're fighting with your husband and your flesh wants to just right back at him, there'll be a voice, a still small voice, that'll say, don't say that. You shouldn't say that. Don't act that way. Do you really want to have a fight over this? Is this the battle you want to choose today? World War III? Ruin a day? You ever heard that voice? Yeah, his name is God the Holy Spirit. He's never leaving us. He doesn't leave us. You don't want to watch that movie. That's rated M. I know it's a good story, but listen, you can't watch that. It's corrupting you. It's corrupting you. It's putting images in your spirit. It's putting images in your soul that are offensive to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Is this resonating with anybody? The Holy Spirit is talking to my human spirit. Now, my soul, the pivoting point, is either going to obey the Spirit or it's going to obey the flesh. And if I obey the Spirit, now I walk in the Spirit. And if I'm willing to live through the discomfort and the displeasure of my flesh not getting its way, it's called discipline. It's called discipline. Then I will begin to walk away from that power over me, and I'll begin to get stronger, and it's a long-term goal, and I begin to walk in the Spirit and not the flesh. And when I walk in the Spirit, it says in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore no condemnation to those who walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. There's a war. There's a battle. And the Holy Spirit is your umpire. And your human spirit is the candle of the Lord. Let me just read this verse to you and I'll quit. Are you all right? I've said a lot and I don't know. I'm just going on and on and on here. But what is the human spirit? Proverbs 16:2 says, all the ways of man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. The human spirit thinks it's right till we get saved. The Holy Spirit comes in with conviction. Not condemnation. condemnation makes you feel ashamed and guilty. Conviction makes you feel bad, and it drives you, godly sorrow drives you to Jesus, and you confess that sin. He is faithful and just to forgive and cleanse it, which means the shame and the stain are gone. Now, are we going to sin? Yeah, we are. Do we have to sin? No. And I'm not perfected yet, so guess what? I'm still sinning. And maybe my sin now is not as big as it was when I was 23, and it's not. But I'm more responsible now. I've grown up. So when I know what to do and I don't do it, it's called sin. That's what the Bible says. So when I have a wrong attitude, a wrong word, a wrong action, a wrong motive, you see, maybe you'd look at my life and think, oh, she's doing pretty good. But, you know, it's not about what you think. It's about what the Holy Spirit's doing. Why? Because he's grooming me so I can walk more in the Spirit, so I can be downloaded more with the Word of God, so the power of God and the kingdom of God can actually flow to me and through me. Because God wants to conceive his will in me. He wants me to command the Word of God out of my mouth. And the Spirit of God that now indwells me wants to take that word spoken in faith and create the will of God on the earth. Man, this is powerful stuff, guys. It is powerful. I just told you what the Trinity was. It's life-changing if you get a hold of this. But you got to download. 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 In other words, I got to get hungry for the Word of God because it's the Word of God that changes my soul. My soul is programmed after the world. Listen, would I rather watch Downton Abbey than Joyce Meyer? Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I would. I love Downton Abbey. I want to just peek into this rich life and think, my gosh, they dress for dinner like that? I'm just such a little gossip and snoop, you know? I love a good story. My flesh loves to just be comforted. Would I rather eat coconut cream pie than broccoli? Oh, yes. Yes. Would I rather have mashed potatoes dripped in butter and roasted garlic rather than I would have just a dry green kale salad? Oh, absolutely. You better believe I would. My flesh loves to be comfortable and comforted. And my flesh loves to have its own way. Because I'm always right and everybody else is always wrong. Is that not true? You know why you do things, do you not? When you do something, do you not know why you did it? You know you have a reason. You know why you did that thing. And when you try to tell somebody else and they don't agree with what you did, they say you are not taking responsibility and you're just making excuses like Adam and Eve. And that's exactly right, because that's what Adam and Eve did. It's the woman you gave me, God. He blamed God. He blamed God. And Eve said, I was deceived. It's a serpent's fault. She didn't have to be deceived. She's not stupid. She didn't have a lobotomy when God created her and took out her brain, and she just blindly follows. We're not easily deceived, even though men think we are. We are emotional. We have to learn how to get those in check. Because men hate it when you cry. If you're in a meeting with a man and you're working, let me just give you a clue right now. No tears. They don't know what to do with tears. They think you're weak. So you just have to suck it up. And look them in the eye with great, great grace and speak what you need to speak. Because men and women are wired differently. Listen, you're magnificent. There's a destiny over every one of your lives. You may not be seeing it yet. It may not, you may not know what it is. Listen, right now, I'm a duck out of water. I don't have a pond anywhere where to swim, you know, because this transition with the kids. And so I'm kind of in limbo. I don't know what, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Do I own a business? Do I go to business? Do I do this? Do I that? I don't know what to do. So you know what? When you don't know what to do, you don't do anything. You do what you know to do. And you just stay put, stay in the Word, stay loving people, stay helping the next generation, stay supporting these guys and this church and praying that the passions that were in us now become, with a fresh breath of God, the passions of this generation a hundredfold exponentially. May they be more passionate than we ever dreamed of being for the Inland Empire and the world. May the rock grow bigger than it's ever been. May it be better than it's ever become. May it grow and grow and grow and grow, because that's the will of God. So maybe you don't know what to do with your life right now. Maybe there's decisions facing you right now. Do I do this? Do I do that? Do I marry this man? Do I not marry him? Listen, if you're dating right now and sleeping with somebody, I can tell you right now, that is not the will of God. You need to stop. You're in the flesh. You'll be destroyed. If you're loving a man right now and you're looking for a man right now, because he made us to want a man. Listen, he made you to want a man. He made you for man. There's nothing wrong with you if you want a man. It's waiting on God for the right man so that you will be the bride that he brings to the godly man. Now, you can pray and say, God, I don't know where this man is. He's a little slow. Could you please speed them up? You know that joke? You ever heard the joke? God said to Adam, Adam said to God one day, he said, God, why did you make Eve so absolutely beautiful? Why did you make her with all those curves and that hair and that gorgeous face? And God looked at Adam. He said, so that you would love her? And Adam said to God, God, why did you make her so dumb? And God said, so she would love you. Okay, that'll just between us girls, just us. No man bashing and girlfriends. We're done. You are spirit, soul, and body. Your heart contains your soul and your spirit. Your spirit is joined to the Holy Spirit inseparably. You belong to him. No one can snatch you out of his hands. He's with you all the time. That still small voice is his voice. And he speaks to your spirit being. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. It's where the light shines in. So download, take your human soul, get into church, get the word, learn the word. I don't care how bored you are. I don't care how many times you've heard the message. It's the word that has the power to change our soul. And let's walk in the spirit and not the flesh.